Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Good Friday morning.
Yes.
It was a short week, Key, for the Browns, and for once, they didn't come up on the short end of it.
Man, who you telling? You got to be excited about that if you're a Brown.
There's not much to be excited about after week one. They lost to the Ravens, bounced back, played a divisional opponent again. This time got the best of the Bengals 35-30. And if this is the first of many we're expecting to see between these two guys, because as much as criticism as there is around Baker Mayfield, they certainly believe he's their guy. And obviously Joe Burrow was fantastic in his second career start.
That is correct.
As crazy as it is to say, Browns-Bengals over the next several years might be really intriguing, especially at the most important position on the field.
But I don't know that I want to sit around on a Thursday night and watch the Heat at 7 o'clock and then against the Celtics and then lead into too many more Bengal-Brown games, right, on Thursdays. I don't want to do that. They got to figure out how to get us a better Thursday night type matchup. Although the game was entertaining, so to speak. It was okay.
Yes, that game was made for NFL Network. Once we get to the Fox games on Thursday, with all due respect, we're going to get some big-time opponents. It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. J. Will taking the morning off. You saw him last night doing all the NBA work. Key mentioned the Heat and the Celtics with Miami taking a 2-0 series lead. Jay was a part of the coverage, so he'll be with us again on Monday, well-rested and ready to go. Your Lakers will be ready to go tonight against the Denver Nuggets, 9 p.m. Eastern, ESPN Radio. They have never, in six previous matchups, I mean, this is one of the most lopsided playoff series of all time. When Denver plays Los Angeles in the playoffs, it's all Lakers all the time.
It is. And you know, look, when you start talking about the Lakers and Denver in a matchup, Denver's going to try to give it all they can. But coming out of two tough series and then coming to try to play a well-rested Laker team with a LeBron James on a mission, that's going to be tough. It's a tall order.
Yeah, one thing we're going to get into a little bit later in the morning, one thing that hasn't been talked about because the Nuggets need to just catch their breath after every single series, and the Lakers are just chilling with their feet up after the first two series. Michael Malone, the Nuggets head coach,
yes,
was a five-year assistant with the Cavs from 2005 to 2010, so the early portion of
LeBron's career. So you're going to try to tell me he knows LeBron?
I would like to have somebody ask him.
Nope.
What he's seen in terms of evolution, right? He just got there a couple years after LeBron got to town, and now 15 years later, it's no big deal. Coaches bounce around forever. But LeBron is playing still 15 years after he got to Cleveland and still playing at an insane level.
But is there a real evolution with LeBron, or is it the same LeBron?
Well, evolution, I guess I should mean ascension, right? When he was there in 05, he obviously wasn't the player that he was in 16 or the player he is in 20. But just to see a guy that saw him on the ground floor that's now coaching against him when this kid he saw as a young pup is trying to get to his 10th finals. I just think that's an interesting perspective.
No, it is an interesting perspective, but when you look at it, 17 seasons and 6 NBA
all NBA teams.
All NBA teams, 16 of them. So the growth obviously is there, but the only thing I've seen change with LeBron James is his beard and his hair. That's it. He loses a little bit of hair and gains some beard. Other than that, he's been the same dude since he's been in the NBA to me.
That's the only thing LeBron and I have in common, a little bit off the top. But after that, I think it ends for me and the King. The King, of course, used to play in Cleveland, bringing them their first championship in over 50 years in 2016. The Browns have been teasing their fans forever, rebuilding, rebuilding, rebuilding. They have the NFL's longest playoff drought, and the Bengals have not won a playoff game in 30 years. So somebody needed something good to feel about.
In Ohio.
Yes.
Other than Ohio State.
They're back. Sean Wade is back, one of their top players opting back in. He'll be with us this morning on the program, but that's a little bit later. So hang tight if you're listening this morning in Columbus. That's a big, big addition. Baker Mayfield, after the game, after the 35-30 game, essentially said, not only did we need this short term, but we can really use this as a building block.
Just to come out here and execute, whatever's called, you go out there and do your job and trust in that system that there's going to be holes. You know, if you establish that run game like you keep hitting on and taking care of the ball, then you're going to have success. So I think that's going to build confidence for us and us playing complementary football with the defense. It's, you know, that's the scary part is if we start clicking and keep getting better, it is going to be a fun ride.
The next litmus test, Key, then now they have the long week because they just had the short week, so they won't have to play again until the 27th of September, and they will host the Washington football team before making a trip to face the Dallas Cowboys. So those are their next two.
One game at a time.
One game
right?
at a time.
You get rested, you bumps and bruises, you get some heels, whatever players you don't have back, like a Greedy Williams, hopefully he comes back and helps your secondary out. Well, by the time you get to Washington, before you even think about Dallas.
It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Give it to us straight. What did you see from Baker and OBJ? And then we'll quickly hit on Burrow, too.
Well, I think you I saw exactly what I wanted to see. Yesterday, when we were on the show, I talked about being smooth, making everything click meticulously, being able to hit your targets, being able to run precise routes, catch the football, run after catch, getting him out on the perimeter. One of the things that I think Kevin Stefanski learned from the Baltimore game and his first game as a head coach is that Baker Mayfield is best on the perimeter, bootlegs, waggles, just things that he could see the field a lot better. You think a quarterback, Z, sees the field a lot better because he's in the pocket. Well, a guy who's a smaller stature like Baker Mayfield, you want to get him out on the perimeter, get him to just scan the field, throw the ball down the field. One of the hardest throws in the NFL, and not a lot of quarterbacks can make it, is the touchdown to OBJ. When he's running to his left, getting his shoulders squared around to be able to launch that football to a receiver that's on the outside running a stutter go, is just beautiful football, beautiful work all the way around. The way that they drew it up, it dialed it up, it hit perfect, and OBJ was happy. And when you have a happy wide receiver, your life is easy.
Are you speaking from personal experience?
I should know. And I think that is what, you know, they came into this game with a whole bunch of criticism, rightfully so, because they were quiet during the summer. We expected them to you know, be a great team last year, even though Freddie Kitchens was not a great coach. We just looked at the talent. But then this year, when they came out against Baltimore, they looked like a Pop Warner football team.
Right.
It just looked like a ragtag operation. And so my thing was, okay, win or lose, I need to see if this is a football team. I need to understand it. When you have OBJ getting 6 targets for 75 yards and a touchdown
right.
on 4 catches, that's efficient for a wide receiver. You don't need wide receiver. Well, you do want to catch the ball a lot, but you don't have to be productive with 15 grabs. You could be productive with 4 catches for 75 yards and a touchdown, because that's a killer. Running that double move on the outside, it took the heart out of the Cincinnati secondary. It made them think, uh-oh, this dude here with the blonde hair, he's back. And he was back last night, and I'm excited for him.
We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We'll go to Cleveland, boots on the ground, with our Aaron Goldhammer, who works for our ESPN radio station.
Goldhammer!
Hammer Nation, 850. That'll be coming up at 6:30.
Sounds like a wrestler's name.
You're right. Yes. I want to ask you this, though. A lot of people will say, this is just the fan in me, but I know we were discussing this beforehand, and this is really interesting. A lot of people will say, well, the biggest difference for the Browns from week one to week two is in week one, they played the unanimous MVP and the favorite to win the division, and in week two, they played possibly the worst team in the division, but you threw cold water all over that.
And that may be true, right? It may be true that the Baltimore Ravens are a much better team than the Cincinnati Bengals. Duh. Like, we don't know that. That's not what we're looking for, at least football guys like me that think I know the game and understand the game and study the game. I'm looking for smooth transition from Baltimore to Cincinnati on offense. Kevin Stefanski was brought in to teach Baker Mayfield how to play the position, to get the most out of Landry, get the most out of OBJ, Chubb, Huntley, Kareem Hunt. That's what they did. Myles Garrett, that's what they did. Denzel Ward was all over the field in the secondary for me. And that's what I'm looking for, no matter who the opponent is. When you talk about the New England Patriots, when you look at the New England Patriots, for instance, and they lose 6 guys on defense that opted out, starters, and everybody says, they lose these players, they're not going to be good. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for it to see if they're going to bust in the secondary and people are going to run wide open and score touchdowns. And when you see that doesn't happen, you know that they're doing their job. And when you look at the Cleveland Browns and you see the completion percentage, getting Baker Mayfield out of trouble, protecting him in certain situations, him not panicking in the pocket, Chubb pressing a hole and doing the things he's doing in the running game, adding in Hunt, allowing him to gash the defense, that's showing me that you could potentially be a good football team. Because one win turns into what? Two.
Two.
And then two turns into three. And then all of a sudden we go to a Dallas and we pop them. Now we start feeling real good. And then it just, boom.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Again, Aaron Goldhammer, not Greg the Hammer Valentine. That's what you were thinking.
No. I'm on with him on radio, and I always tell him every time I go on, you know, and do our affiliate thing, I tell him, man, you know, you should go be a wrestler. Because it just sounds like a wrestler's name.
Greg the Hammer, one of the greats from the 80s. Still to come, we're going in the NBA from a possible title contender to seeing this team's window close before they can even reach their max potential. Who are we talking about? We'll have that next.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
We are back. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests appear on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, including Big Perk. Kendra Perkins will be here to talk NBA at 7:30, but before Perk is here, make sure we call Perk twice, make sure he doesn't hit the snooze. We'll be ready to go with him at 7:30, but before we get his thoughts on the NBA, I want to get your thoughts, Key. Despite actually leading the Celtics in scoring last night, the Celtics do need Kemba Walker to get into the zone. Get in the zone, brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Kemba had talked about before the start of the series how poorly he was playing. He's also dealing with a bit of a knee injury, so there have been some situations around Kemba Walker. The situation around the Celtics, they were up a dozen heading into the fourth quarter of game one, blew it, lost it. You heard Mike Breen there say they were up 17, and with Pat Riley watching from above in the bubble in person with his mask on, they rally to take that game and are now up 2-0. And there are a ton of questions on what's happened to the so-called genius, Brad Stevens.
I don't think anything's happened to the so-called genius. I think he just hasn't made the necessary adjustments that they needed to in the second half of these games, especially in the bubble. Right. When you look at the series against Toronto, they should have closed that thing out a long time ago. But because Toronto made the adjustments with Nick Nurse, they brought it all the way to the end. Seven games, stretched it. Now in the Miami situation, Eric Spoelstra's just out coaching him. And Eric Spoelstra, for quite frankly, is out coaching everybody. I mean, he's the best coach in the East right now. So when you look at that, this window of opportunity, man, is scary for Boston. I know we like the young nucleus of talent, Tatum and Brown and Smart and now Kemba Walker, but we also liked it when they had Gordon Hayward and Isaiah Thomas and Kyrie Irving and all these different pieces coming and going. It reminds me a lot of, hear me here.
Go for it.
The process.
Oh, in Philly.
In Philadelphia, right? It's 4 years ago. We would have thought by now a ticker tape parade would have gone through Philadelphia.
Down South Street.
Down South Street.
Right.
But it didn't happen. And as you continue to put yourself in these situations like Boston, not getting out of the East and getting to the finals in winning a chip, everybody else in the East is getting ready to get better. You know, Milwaukee's going to get better or worse, but Miami is going to get better, right? They're not going to get worse because they're already here. They're just going to get better. Then there's a team that's right up the road. I don't know which way. That way.
Your GPS.
I got to figure it out. If Jay Will was here, he'd tell me Brooklyn is over there near New Jersey, and he's from here. But the Nets, no one talks about that with Kyrie and KD coming back next year. So the East is getting ready to get some sort of logjam. Toronto is probably going to get a little bit better. And if they don't, they still in the way. So this window of opportunity for Boston could be closing. You know, and you say, oh, how could that be, man? They're young. No, you don't know what you're talking about, Key. No, I do know what I'm talking about. Because 4 years ago, we would have thought Boston by now would be in the finals. But it's going by them slowly. 3 years from now, we might be looking at something different in Boston.
It's all about meeting the moment, and I understand the Celtics have more championships.
Hell, Indiana going to get better.
Yeah. Yeah, they need a new coach, but they want to be more offensively driven. Mike D'Antoni is out there. Here's what it reminds me of. I totally understand. If you're a Celtics fan, look, you got more titles than anybody. You got one more title than Keys Lakers, though. That may be changing. But the Celtics do have 17. The Lakers have 16. So when you talk about the Celtics meeting the moment, we're not talking about anything short of hoisting the Larry O'Brien trophy because of their history. But they remind me, and this is interesting because you're a college football guy at heart. They remind me of Oklahoma. When Bob Stoops was coaching Oklahoma, he won a national title in his second year.
Yes.
And then he never won one again. And after he won one in his second year, and I'm not diminishing that by saying
no,
it's
I'm
easy.
I'm laughing because I was going to say, well, he did run up against USC one time.
Yes. And that did not go well for the Sooners. One of the epic blowouts you'll ever see about 15, 16 years ago. But I would tell you this, Key, when you think about it, Bob Stoops was there about 18 years. He won one national title. But because he won the first one so early, yeah, what's happening? Why aren't we doing it again? To your point, the Celtics meeting the moment, maybe Brad Stevens just got there quicker than expected. First year on the job, disaster, right? No worries. 25-57. 25 wins in his first year. Then they jump to 40. And this is Key's point. Now they start looking like the Celtics in terms of moving in the right direction.
Yes.
Third year, they go to 48. Fourth year, they go to 53. Then in their fifth year, they go to 55. So in his first 5 years, he wins more than the previous year every single time. And in 5 years, they have doubled their win total. And then they dropped down to 49 last year. And then this year, 48, but it wasn't an 82-game schedule. I want to mention, Key, this is one thing that's not being mentioned about the Celtics. They've been to the Eastern Conference Finals three times in the last 4 years.
Yes.
If you're listening this morning, you're like, wait a minute, is that true? Yes, they ran into LeBron a couple times, and you know what happens when you run into LeBron when LeBron is in the East. But this whole thing with Philly, the comparison, Brad Stevens, he's taken the Celtics to the Eastern Conference Finals three times in the last 4 years. That is worth something. I'm not going to listen to anybody tell me he's doing a poor job.
No, he's not doing a poor job. It's just that others are going to catch up. Like, the Nets is coming. They're not going anywhere. The Brooklyn Nets are about to add one of the top three players in the NBA that they didn't have last year. They're getting ready to add that dude. Now Miami, who's up 2-0 on Boston, is probably sniffing around Milwaukee without Milwaukee knowing. They're trying to poach something that everybody would like to have. They're going to get stronger.
And oh, by the way, maybe the Heat will get even stronger.
That's what I'm saying.
Well.
So when you start looking and you start saying to yourself, time runs out, right? The Philadelphia 76ers, when they had J.J. Redick and we're going to do this. And then they get Jimmy Butler. Oh, we're going to do that. And Ben Simmons and Embiid. And now the coach is fired because the expectations were so great, they didn't live up to them. Now, people run out in sports, patience. They just do.
They do. Game 3 of the series tomorrow night, and we'll see if the Celtics can cut it in half. Still to come, the Browns are indeed back on track if you watch Thursday night football. But is the future actually brighter for that other team in Ohio that lost to Cleveland last night? We'll get into that. Boots on the ground. We will go to Cleveland next.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, are you programming the music now? What's going on here with this? You were listening to some of this stuff yesterday in the break. It's kind of smooth.
Now,
kind of fun.
I know you just didn't say some of this stuff in the break. I know you just didn't say that.
What do you mean?
That we wasn't listening to this.
I thought you were.
No, it was sort of kind of. We was listening to more New Edition, Jodeci.
Old school stuff.
Bryson, Tiller. Those sort. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You're taking me back a little bit.
We also, what else did we play that? We had a little Tina Maria, Rick James going.
Oh, Rick James.
Yeah.
Okay. So. All right. Let's find out what the deal is in Cleveland this morning. Aaron Goldhammer, ESPN 850, hosts a show there. Really popular show, Hammer Nation. We've talked over the years. Aaron, good morning. I think the last time I talked to you was the Cavs and the Warriors in the NBA Finals. So it's been quite some time.
My wrestling buddy, Goldhammer. Yeah.
Greg the Hammer Valentine Goldhammer with us this morning. Aaron, the feeling of the day in Cleveland. We like to play fill in the blank here. It's one of our favorite games. Fill in the blank. Feeling of the day in Cleveland is?
You guys, the relief after last night is palpable. I was nervous.
I told you don't be nervous.
Key, I was nervous. And Cleveland was nervous because we felt like it was more than just 0-2 that the Browns were looking at. It was really Baker Mayfield's career was swinging in the balance because if you go 0-2 against two division opponents and you lose on a short week to a rookie quarterback at home, who is a division quarterback, who's also from Ohio, like all of this stuff was stacking up to tell a story that Case Keenum was going to be playing football for the Cleveland Browns before you know it. And this season was going to fall right off the rails. And so to see Baker and Odell connect, to see the Browns run the ball the way they did, to see them score 35 points, to see their coach a good game, and to get this win and get one in the win column. There was some celebrating last night on our post-game show, but more than anything else, I could sense the relief when Baker and Odell hooked up for that touchdown last night.
Well, you're going to have some more celebrating throughout the years. I've always told you that. Just it's patience. You they'll be okay. They'll be okay. You just gotta let it kind of marinate a little bit. Now it's only one game, right? OBJ had a terrific game. Baker Mayfield had a terrific game. Based on last night, though, did you see enough to think that OBJ will be the long term solution there in Cleveland?
Keyshawn, I think based on where the Browns are headed, I think that the Browns are going to trade Odell Beckham and. It's just a matter of when. I know you talked about this. You guys talked about this, and we played some of the audio on our show earlier this week. It's the finances of this, that they have two $15 million receivers. That's $30 million on receivers that the Browns are paying. They also already signed Kareem Hunt to a contract extension. Nick Chubb, who I think is their best offensive player, is coming up on a contract extension. They've paid Myles Garrett $125 million. And if Baker continues to play well, they're going to have to pay him. And I just don't know if they have enough room under the cap for it to make sense. And just because Odell played one good half with Baker, which really was the first half last night. In fact, I don't think Odell even had a ball thrown his way in the second half last night. I don't think he is an important enough player to this style of offense. And I think if he plays well, that his value back in return, the Browns at some point are going to take. But I think it's just a matter of when. Is it going to be before the trade deadline this year? Is it going to be after the season? But my guess is, guys, a year from now, Odell Beckham Jr. is going to be playing somewhere else.
Wow. I mean, that's interesting. But at least they get off cheap because if they had me, I need all $30 million. Right? No, I'm just teasing. when you look at the defense, right, Myles Garrett, Denzel Ward, those guys came to play last night against a young rookie quarterback that threw the ball 61 times and was effective in getting his team into the end zone 3 times. Is there any cause for concern on the defensive side?
Well, the Browns are super banged up in their secondary. They lost the rookie Grant Delpit for the year with a terrible injury, and hopefully he'll be able to come back from that at some point. But it's not going to be this season. They're missing linebackers and two corners, Greedy Williams from LSU and Kevin Johnson, who's an important player on their defense. So the hope is they get some of these guys back. But, I mean, yeah, there were a couple of guys playing on that defense last night. I don't want to name names because I feel like it's not right after they won. Okay. But there are a couple guys playing on that defense last night that should be in the Arena League or the Canadian League or not in the National Football League. So Miles made a great play, forced a turnover. Denzel was fantastic on A.J. Green, who was targeted 13 times and only caught 3 passes. That's awesome against still one of the best receivers in football. But, you know, the Browns have defensive problems to allow 30 points to Joe Burrow and the Bengals, to allow 5 for 5 on fourth down. The nice thing is when you win, you can correct those things, hopefully headed into their next game, and then they have a little extra time 10 days before they play Washington a week from Sunday.
Aaron Goldhammer on with us from ESPN Cleveland, Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Zubin. Let me ask you this off the field. Is there anybody on Cleveland's team right now, currently in the sports world, that could basically be the face of Cleveland sports post-LeBron?
So, Keyshawn, we have that billboard space, you know, right across from the arena that became like a Cleveland landmark. Like when my friends from out of town would come in, they would want to take a picture in front of that famous LeBron billboard. It was like the most famous spot in town, even more famous than the Rock Hall or, you know, whatever else, you know, Cleveland has to offer. And eventually I think LeBron belongs back up on that billboard in some capacity. But people were saying, you know, here, put Baker Mayfield up there. Not after one game last night, and he's still thrown too many interceptions. Guys, I think Nick Chubb is that good, okay? And Nick Chubb might be the best running back the Browns have had since Jim Brown retired. It has been that long, and I think Nick Chubb is that good. And the combination of Chubb and Hunt, I think it's the best running back combo by far in the NFL. And I just think Nick Chubb represents so much of what the Browns want to be and what they should be. I mean, there's so many coaches that have come here and tried to throw the ball around 60 times, Freddie Kitchens, and that's not Cleveland football. You know, you have to have an identity in this game. And I think when the Browns went 6 plays, 75 yards without even throwing a pass to ice that game last night, it dawned on me we're spending so much time talking about Baker and Odell and their chemistry and that really what the Browns need to be is a running football team. And right now, if you're going to put somebody up on that billboard, it's not Frankie Lindor, who's probably, you know, he's got 1 foot out the door for the Indians, and nobody on the Cavs belongs up there right now. Really, the guy that belongs up there the most is probably Nick Chubb.
That there is interesting. Let me ask you this, because you're going to be asked this every single time you come on the show with us. What is it that you want this year in the end for the Browns, other than the Lombardi, that will satisfy you?
So you know, different organizations and teams have different standards, Key. I've lived in Cleveland for 15 years, okay? I've seen just about everything. I've seen the Cavs, the worst team in the league. I've seen them win a championship. I've seen the Indians in the World Series. I've never seen the Browns even competent, okay? So if they were to make the playoffs, if they were to ever host a playoff game in a post-pandemic world, and I got to see what so many people have told me about what happens in this city when the Browns are good, I mean, that is what I would love to see. So my standard for them isn't even winning in the playoffs at this point. It's just if they got there, that would be the Cleveland sports highlight since the Cavs won the championship in 2016.
Wow. Incredible.
Great expectations.
I mean, I just can't get over the Nick Chubb comments. We'll have more from Aaron if you're listening out there on the Really Big Show every weekday afternoon on ESPN 850 in Cleveland. More of his great thoughts on Twitter at HammerNation19. He really brought some interesting thoughts this morning for sure. Aaron, thank you so much for being here this morning.
Happy to do it, guys. Thank you.
All right, so we can't let this go, Key, because while Aaron Goldhammer was saying post-Jim Brown that this is the best running back this city's ever had, you had a quizzical look, so I picked up the old Apple iPhone.
What about the one dude? Go ahead. I'll think of him in a minute.
Okay, no problem. No problem. I mean, they've had guys like Kevin Mack. They've had some really good running backs over the years. All right, so Chubb came into the league in 2018. And again, we're not just going to base this all on numbers. He's obviously extrapolating. What can he give us in the future? How does he pair well with Baker? How will all that work? So there's some nuance here. In 2018, he ran for 996 yards, so nearly a 1,000-yard rusher in his rookie year. In 2019, this snuck up on some people because of how bad the Browns were. 1,494 yards on the ground.
So he got better in his sophomore year.
Right. Second in the league in rushing when you consider that the Browns really couldn't do anything right. There was turmoil and chaos all season long. They had a head coach who probably never should have been a head coach. Right? You get a
Freddie Kitchens.
You get a competent head coach in there. You have a running back of this ilk. Maybe he does even better. And then this year, obviously, you know, it's been early, but he really thinks that Nick Chubb could play a role and even be a bigger star than Baker Mayfield. His point about Lindor is great. If Lindor were to stay, I know it's not a baseball conversation, he would easily be the face. He's got a great smile. He's got incredible talent. He's got everything you want your organization to be. But obviously, 1 foot in, 1 foot out, as he said. But to put Chubb over Baker or even like a breakout star for the Cavs that they might draft, I find that a little strange.
Well, I think... See, Baker still has a lot of sour going on around him based on the last couple years, right? He has more. I got so damn tired of seeing his face last night on commercials. Like every time I look up when they went to commercial break, Baker Mayfield selling something. So I'm like, okay. But I think there's a sour around him from the last couple of years. But quarterbacks are always going to be in front of running backs. That's just, but he needs to get out of this season, like you say, if he can get them to the playoffs, maybe get on that verge of Pro Bowl-type performance and maybe make the Pro Bowl or right at the edge of it, that he will basically take – he's a quarterback, face of the team. That's just what it's going to be. I understand what he's saying, that Chubb has shown over the last couple years that he is the heart and soul of that offense.
Okay.
But a quarterback is always going to be the face of the team. It's just – that's what it is. You'll never see Nick Chubb, not that you won't ever see, put it this way, you'll never see Nick Chubb in the amount of commercials that we've already seen Baker Mayfield on.
It's
just not going to happen.
Listen, if David Montgomery plays five times better than Mitch Trubisky and the Bears are winning, Trubisky is still getting all the attention because Trubisky is the quarterback. That's how it goes. Just real quick, Hammer Nation there said he's been in town 15 years, hasn't seen anything, and you just mentioned the Browns making the playoffs. This is what it comes down to. They have the longest playoff drought in the NFL. So them making the playoffs, which seems like a common goal for most teams in the league when you start the season, it's been anything but for them. So they are in their own special category when it comes to making the playoffs.
It's not good.
That's a good way to put it.
It's like one of those organizations when they tell you you're ready to get drafted, you're trying to figure out how not to go there.
Right.
You know, most guys, you say, oh, man, I'll play anywhere. There's Wells Fargo banks in every city, right? That's what you think. But then when you've gotten to places like Cleveland, you're kind of like, no, Dad. I don't know if that's what I want to do.
Fair enough. Keyshawn J. Will Zubin reminding you it's all about ESPN Audio at Home via your smart speaker. ESPN Audio at Home brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes from customization and service to financial assistance. Mercedes-Benz Vans are ready for anything, and we are ready from A to Z on the big sports headlines we haven't discussed just yet. And the reason I mention that, there's a lot of eye-popping stuff that happened last night and today from A to Z brought to you by Redbox. Now at Redbox, stream the theatrical home release of Bill and Ted Face the Music starring Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter. Those would be Bill and Ted. Get premium access and visit Redbox.com for all the ways to watch. This is just for you, Key, because I know you're a huge golf fan. Justin Thomas pacing the field at the U.S. Open before first-round play was suspended late yesterday. He was 5 under, and I don't say that lightly. The lowest score in a U.S. Open at Winged Foot. This is the sixth time this major has been here. And this is generally considered the toughest major to score at. The champion being over par, two over, three over. Corey Pavin won it at over par, at even par, 25 years ago. So to be five under at this point, this is truly key, a score we have never seen in the history of this major championship.
Well, with the humidity out there, you know, the ball travels a little further.
Key's going to get on the stip meter and start reading the greens here before too long. By the way, if you're wondering, Tiger Woods, three over in his first round. He'll tee off today at 1:27 p.m. Eastern time. I know that's what most people are concerned with. Woods, 1:27 Eastern today, just outside of New York, not too far from where Key and I are sitting this morning. I also know Key is a huge hockey fan. I think we all knew that. The Stanley Cup final is set. Anthony Cirelli, who came back.
I mean, let's go, Cirelli!
This is all hockey, right? You just get roughed up in the second. You just never come out. You just come right back in the game. The toughness of hockey players is awesome. He injured his right knee in the second, came back in the third, scored in overtime to send the Lightning to the Stanley Cup final 2-1. They take out the Islanders in Game 6 last night. So it will be Dallas, and it will be the Lightning in the Stanley Cup final. Get ready, folks. It's 2020. It'll be Tampa Bay and Dallas playing for the Stanley Cup final in Edmonton tomorrow night at 7:30 Eastern.
Two cities I play football in.
Oh, that's right. See, now you have a vested interest to be involved in the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
Game 1, 7:30 Eastern, again in Edmonton, because they have the double bubble. The Toronto bubble has ended in the NHL, but they will play the Stanley Cup final in Western Canada in Edmonton. And another city Key was in, of course, is New York. The Yankees, Key, they just demolished the Jays in this three-game series. Key, the Yankees hit 19 home runs in a three-game series. It is the most home runs ever hit in a three-game series in Major League Baseball history. And guess what? Even old Giancarlo Stanton decided to get healthy and hit one last night.
You know, the Yankees are getting back in this thing. We counted them out, but 2 weeks ago it looked like that they were on the brink of missing the playoffs and not holding their end of the bargain, East Coast versus West Coast. Dodgers, Yankees, look like it's going
to
happen.
Congratulations to the White Sox, who clinched their first playoff berth since 08, and the Rays are also in. They're in for the second year in a row. Joe Burrow last night was great, but think about this. He lost no games in his final year at LSU. He's now lost two games in 5 days. It's like one of those situations.
It happens, man.
What does it do to you mentally?
Think about it. I left USC as the number one overall pick, capping things off at the Rose Bowl, beating down Greeny's Northwestern Wildcats, and then come to the New York Jets and go 1-15. You know how that felt? So imagine when you win a national title at LSU, you become the number one pick, the toast of the town of Cincinnati, and now you're 0-2. But the great thing that I take from that game last night with him is his moxie, his poise. He's a young quarterback that did a lot of good things that make you think the future could potentially be bright for the Bengals. Joe Mixon's there. I don't know what they do with A.J. Green long-term, because if I'm A.J. Green and I'm at the end of my deal, do I want to – it's almost like a rebuilding situation.
Right.
Do I want to be around for the rebuilding process?
Off an injury
and
last year.
I'm 32 years old and I want to get paid, but I also want to win. But when you look at T. Higgins, a young receiver they drafted out of Clemson, you still got John Ross that's there that hopefully will develop into something.
Speedster. Yeah.
So when you start to kind of look at things – Joe Burrow seems to be headed in the right direction. I mean, you see some of these young quarterbacks, like a Mitch Trubisky, for instance. Mitch Trubisky didn't look like that in his first game, right? It's not even close. So the one thing that I would say, though, is I don't want my quarterback throwing the ball 61 times.
37 of 61 for 316, but three
no,
TDs.
No, I'm cool. I'm fine with the TDs, but I don't want my young quarterback throwing 61 times when I'm not down by 28. I don't need that. The game was close enough where I can mix and match and get a nice ratio of 50-50, or 40-60, 45-55. I don't need to throw again 61 times in three sacks. You're putting him in a bad situation, you know, and that's what happens. That's what will happen to a young quarterback, is all of a sudden you look up and that sack total just goes up, and people don't even pay attention to how many times he's dropping back when they look at it. They just go, oh, he's throwing 61 times. Yeah, he's being sacked three times. And imagine if he did that every single game, and he gets sacked three times every single game. I mean, it'll fracture the kid.
More football talk, Bart Scott, 7:15 a.m. Eastern, 11-year NFL vet. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, brought to you by DraftKings. Download the DraftKings app. Use code KJZ. Get a free shot at millions of dollars up for grabs this week with your first deposit. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Still to come, the one thing and the only thing that could stand in the way of a Miami Heat championship. We'll get to that next.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.